Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Payne and Pendergast with you. So, good question from a listener to the Utopia Football Podcast on the in the mailbag. believe it was from Michael, if I'm not mistaken.
Good job, Michael.
Way to go, Michael. You got to pick one Texan player, coach, or executive to win a major award for the upcoming season. Who would it be? And I think there's really, four distinct possibilities. I'll say this, you know, maybe they draft somebody who gets in on the rookie of the year conversation. I think the fact that A, this roster probably doesn't have a whole lot of room for rookies to make a huge impact this year, which feels good, right? I mean,
right,
it's a
Yeah.
Plus they're not picking as of right now until 42. So by definition, they're going to be drafting rookies that probably have a diminished chance of winning rookie of the year, although Puka almost won it last year. He was a fifth-round pick, so who knows. But I think there's four possibilities here that fit this question. See, the obvious one is C.J. Stroud winning the MVP of the league. He's 9-1 right now. He's tied for third on the odds board behind Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, ironically, and then he's tied with Joe Burrow for third.
That's the Josh Allen one is interesting. I think it just mostly, I'm guessing, the perception that if the Bills are going to be good, it's going to be off of Josh Allen doing some heroic things, and especially perhaps a rookie or two wide receivers.
Yeah, that's a great point, Seth. That has more to do with the if the Bills are good, what it's going to look like, than the likelihood that the Bills are going to be good. You know what I mean? Like it's because I don't think it's likely CJ, they're going to be that great. But if they are, it's Josh Allen. You know,
CJ is going to have to fight against a little bit, not as much, but a little bit of the narrative out in San Francisco, which is, you know, Brock Purdy. Well, look, he's got Brandon Ayuk and Deebo Samuel and Christian McCaffrey and George Kittle. That's an embarrassment of riches. Of course, anybody could be a good quarterback there. CJ doesn't have as much of that, but I think people will point to the three wide receivers.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying I agree with it, everybody, just to put down your weapons. But people are going to say, or voters will say, well, look, he's got those three wide receivers. I mean, it's unfair compared to what Josh Allen was working with.
Yeah. I think if the Texans win 12 games, I think CJ's got a great shot at it. I think that's the barometer. Because if they win 12 games, they're probably winning the division, and they're in the conversation for number one overall seed. I think that might get him there.
Who was the number one?
Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes. Mahomes.
I don't know. Mahomes at this point has a little bit of the LeBron thing going, doesn't he? Where it's like you got to outdo your best, really, to get acknowledgement as the MVP.
Maybe.
You know, and last year he wasn't an MVP performer at all, not even close to it. But his heroics were in the postseason.
Yeah.
I wouldn't put Mahomes at the top if I were a handicapping man.
He might be at that stage where voters, they're bored voting for him for MVP. That's what it got with LeBron. It got that way with Michael Jordan. And I don't feel any shame at all comparing Patrick Mahomes to either of those guys. He's the Michael Jordan of this league. D'Amico Ryan's coach of the year. This is a tricky one because D'Amico, typically you win Coach of the Year by doing one of two things. And there are exceptions, but generally speaking, you are either a first-year head coach who does what D'Amico did last year, which is take an awful team and turn them into a good team against all odds, or you're an established coach whose team is one of the one or two or at worst three best teams in football. You know, you're winning 14, 13 games, something like that. So D'Amico obviously has already, you know, he missed the boat on the first one by one vote. He lost. He actually finished in a tie for Coach of the Year last year and lost in a tiebreaker. I think the Texans probably, for D'Amico, probably do need to be like the number one seed in the AFC for him to win Coach of the Year, I think.
The one that's weird, now Daboll, when he won it, was a rookie head coach, right? Mm-hmm. That was his first year. It was 2022. That was the one, usually you need at least 11 wins. Daboll got it going 9-7-1, which I think more than anything is a reflection on how much people hate Daniel Jones more so than anything else. Like that was he won Coach of the Year because people couldn't believe that Daniel Jones actually won was going to the playoffs.
That's right.
You know, beyond that, you got to win 11 games. It's very, very rare to get it without winning 11 games, and the Texans have a tougher schedule this year. I think for D'Amico to win the Coach of the Year this year, I almost don't want it because I feel like it would mean that C.J. Stroud got injured.
Oh, like Stefanski last year?
Yeah.
See, that's one of the exceptions. Like, Stefanski was neither of those things in 2023 that I just outlined. But, that's an exceptional thing in the eyes of the voters was, man, he won games with four different starting quarterbacks.
Yeah, I think they've got enough names on offense now that even though they weren't names before D'Amico took over the team, I think they have enough names on offense now that the thing that would make D'Amico a Coach of the Year is if the defense ends up being a top three defense.
Yeah.
People look at it kind of like, well, boy, it really became D'Amico's team this year, and as good as the offense was, it was the defense that was their calling
card.
That's
a good point. Win a bunch of games and have a monster defense. So, I like that.
Yeah, so I think I do want D'Amico to win Coach of the Year, as long as it doesn't involve a C.J. Stroud. It doesn't. This is the one codicil. It cannot involve a C.J. Stroud injury.
Okay, I like that.
I'm very specific in my wants, Sean.
Third one, Will Anderson, Defensive Player of the Year. This feels like the least
likely. That's what I want.
I want it all.
That's what I want, yeah.
Yeah.
No, you know what I don't want? I don't want that. I would love for him to have that, but if I have to choose between all of those, we've seen up close and personal three times that winning Defensive Player of the Year doesn't guarantee you an incredible football team.
Yep.
So I think that's the one that has maybe that's the one that has the least effect on just how actually we happy we are. I feel like if CJ wins the MVP, you're almost assuredly a team that's threatening to go deep in the playoffs.
Yeah.
If D'Amico wins MVP with this current squad, I think it means they're a really, really good football team. I mean, Defensive Player of the Year, that you could, they could win four games and Will Anderson could win Defensive Player of the Year.
Yeah, yeah. Last one, Nick Caserio, Executive of the Year.
I'm just pessimistic that he'll get it. I would love for him to get it. It would be nice for him, but we've seen way too often the executive of the year ends up on his butt in the street 2 years
sure.
2 years later.
For sure,
and
yes.
that he, everybody thinks he was the worst GM ever.
I think maybe
Ryan Grigson.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I'm a little more bullish on his chances of getting that. He's been, executive-wise, the star of this offseason. You know, a lot of it is first impressions, and the first impressions for executives are made in March and April. And so he's off to a hell of a start. I don't know that they put out odds on Executive of the Year. These other ones they put out odds on every 2 weeks, it feels like. But I think, Nick, if the Texans win the division and are like a two seed in the AFC, I think Nick's got a really good shot. I think he might have the second best shot of these four guys behind CJ at MVP.
Man, I'll just start off so people know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. It really all started off back in 2010 with Scott Pioli. Scott Pioli was the GM of the year in 2007 for the Patriots. That worked out well for him. He got a job, but he ended up with the Chiefs. 2010, left, I don't want to say in disgrace, but in a lot of people's minds, in disgrace. Trent Baalke from the 49ers, it would be a rocky road. Ryan Grigson.
Horrible.
Just one of the most...
He's terrible.
Yeah, like one of the least respected GMs of this century, I think. He won GM of the Year in 2012. So John Dorsey of the Chiefs. That made sense, actually. But Jerry Jones won it in 2014. I don't need it. I don't respect the award. Yeah. I think it's a bogus award that's too much like rewarding chance things. And a lot of times the really good GMs actually don't get honored because they're doing things that are either just too boring or what have you.
Someone said,
did Ozzie Newsome ever win it?
Win Executive of the Year? I don't know. You've got the
list. I don't think he did.
Really?
I don't think Ozzie Newsome won it a single time.
And I could
That's all you need to know about
it. Yeah, you could argue that he's been the best executive in the league in this century, you know, in the 2000s. Ravens GM, long time, for those who don't know.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Someone texts in, Tank Dell, comeback player of the year. I thought about comeback player of the year. And this is not to minimize how quickly Tank has come back from his injury, nor the season I think he's going to have. I think Tank Dell's going to have a huge season this year. I really do. Broken leg in week 13 is typically not going to –
it's not as inspirational of a comeback, right?
Yeah. It's got to be like Joe Burrow, for example, probably has a better chance because he's a higher-profile player who will probably lead the Bengals to 12 wins this year.
They don't even – listen to the thing, too. He broke his fibula, which is – as anybody will tell you, like, it doesn't even get recognized in, like, when people say to point to your shin bone. You're pointing to your tibia. Like, people call it up. They ignore it completely when they say, oh, I hurt my shin bone.
It's barely a bone. It's like Pluto was as a planet for a while. I hear that the medical committees are about to say that, which bone is it, Seth? The tibia
or
the
fibula?
Fibula. I hear they're about to downgrade it from bone to just stick.
It's like a calcium deposit.
Right, a calcium. That's what they're downgrading it to. It's a calcium deposit. Yeah,
it's a floating bone. I don't even know what that is, other than like it's. What would you rather have, your fibula or your appendix?
I don't know.
Flip a coin.
I don't know. But if I was Tank Dell in my car listening right now, I would be like, "You guys want me to come up to the studio and break your fibulas? See how it feels?"
Oh no! I'm not saying it doesn't hurt.
Yeah,
I'm just saying that it's. It's not. It's not an inspirational story for a comeback, like you said. Yeah.
It'll feel
like the comeback of the year for us because we've seen the difference with him in and out of the offense. But I don't think he'll get league-wide attention.
Dude, I think Tank is going to have – if he's healthy, I think he's going to have a monster year. I don't know. This whole layers and layers of actual good players on offense as opposed to Bill O'Brien's layers and layers of players a few years ago, I think Tank might benefit the most of anybody out of all this.
I think Tank Dell – you know, Tank Dell is an interesting – in an interesting spot too, because at some point here we'll start to see, you know, around June and July when it's slow, we're going to start to see a lot of lists about like candidates for breakout player of the year, and I almost wonder if Tank is even eligible for that, because I feel like getting 709 yards in 11 games is maybe enough to just already say he's already broken out. I think in a lot of people's minds, like, well, no, he just got injured. He had already broken out.
Yes.
So he's already past the point of being a potential breakout player of the year. I guess Nico Collins likewise, right?
Yeah. Nico broke out. That was his breakout was last year for sure.
So they didn't get to live through. They never actually had a genuine candidacy for breakout player of the year.
Is there an actual award for breakout player of the year, or are we just making up a
mythical? I know people write articles about it. They'll write articles about it during some dead time during the season or at the end of the season. Before the season, in June and July especially, that's when those articles
For sure. Someone said Aaron Rodgers comeback player of the year. He might.
Oh, yeah.
He might.
He will.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, honestly, that's where people will be tested on. Aaron Rodgers has been annoying to me since long before I found out that he was a conspiracy theorist or anything like that.
Right.
It was just the way he was handling his negotiations in Green Bay. It just reeked of Southern Belle coyness and BS like that. That put me off on him. So I don't care. I disagree with him about some things. I think he's got a point on other things. But I feel like if Aaron Rodgers comes back and plays at a really high caliber and you don't consider him as comeback player of the year, you got to have a conversation with yourself about whether you're like letting various other things affect you.
Oh, dude,
you
know? Absolutely. Like
he's in his damn 40s with a torn Achilles tendon. That used to be a death sentence for a football player.
The Florio articles, if Aaron Rodgers is having a good year,
yeah,
and he's up for comeback player of the year, like if he's the odd, because they put out odds on that during the season. I mean, DeMar Hamlin led all season long until the night of the award when Joe Flacco got it. So the Florio articles are going to be tremendous.
It'll honestly be a test. It'll be like you.
It will.
In Rodgers' minds, like anybody who's been vaccinated won't vote for him for MVP
Like
he's on the. Don't get me wrong. Rodgers is. I find Rodgers insufferable these days.
Yeah.
But if he did that, I would 100% vote for him for comeback player of the year.
If he plays well, you got to, man. If he plays well, you got. If he plays well enough, if he deserves it, and you feel that way, you got to.
And I say that as somebody who kind of probably people would be surprised at some of the things I kind of feel like Aaron Rodgers has a point on. I say that. I still find him insufferable.
Right.
He has reached that point where, like, even when he's saying things that I agree with, I don't want him to be the one agreeing with me. It's annoying as hell.
OJ passed away yesterday, which made me immediately
Aaron Rodgers?
Immediately made me think of where were you when ... I think the OJ chase is the ultimate for people in a certain age group, right? What were some of the other ones? The where were you when?
Oh, yeah.
We'll get to those coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Auto Parts.
What up, y'all? It's your boy, Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host, Harrison Sanford, on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.